All right. I wanted to take the opportunity to get the last word in, which has always been a challenge over the 11 years that I have known Brian. This is a bit of a delight for me to be able to address you, but more importantly, to bring a personal word to Brian and Susan and Peyton and Jordan and the oft-absent Bryson Judd Robert, who I have a very pointed word for this morning. So he picked a good time not to show. My first engagement with Brian was a phone call. And we had just been called to Westview Alliance, your sister church on the other side of town. We had yet to arrive. And if you know Brian, he's just a really relational, savvy, real subtle guy. And he wanted to have a conversation with me, knowing that as the new lead guy coming in, he was figuring out whether or not he still had a job there. Now, he used lots of spiritual language to kind of cover it. I'm just trying to discern with you the direction and a bunch of other things. But the bottom line was the guy was scared. And he wanted to know what my vision was. And, of course, I immediately flipped it on him, asked him some things. He had to spill out his cards on the table. I said, hey, thanks for the call, and I hung up and left him holding the phone, having no idea more than, whoa, I just got exposed, and this guy gave me nothing, and I'm wondering what's going to happen. And that is how the dance began. And it's been a crazy dance over the last 11-plus years that we have been somewhat arm-in-arm. Of course, once we arrived, Brian let me know that my full role and responsibility for however long I was in Fort Wayne was to make sure that I took care of him. And I have done that. More than you'll ever know. He has preached so many of my messages to you. Even this new gig is just, it's silly. Because I will now be responsible for another district, and I'm going to have to make all the decisions there as he calls me daily for the next insight of where he is supposed to go and what he's supposed to do. And so it's been a delight to micromanage him over these years. And as you know, he has needed that. Seriously, I love him more than anything. And God has given me an incredible friend, a brother, someone that
I would lay down my life for. And I love you and your people. As I was asking the Lord what he wanted me to know about shaping some comments for you, for us this morning, and to be obedient to what the Spirit wanted, I was reminded of Paul's farewell in the third missionary journey. It's found in Acts chapter 18 through 21. As Paul is given a sense that he is to return back to Jerusalem, it would be there that he would be arrested, and that through that arrest, he would have the opportunity to get to Rome, which was something throughout his whole ministry he was desiring to do. He wanted to be able to preach Jesus in Rome. He wanted to be able to encourage the church that was there. He wanted to be able to impart some sense of spiritual blessing and gift upon the church there. And it had never happened. He had been prohibited.
He had been held back time and time again, and yet now he sensed that
through chains, he would have the opportunity to be able to be in Rome. And so as he begins to face that direction, he says goodbye to a handful of churches that he has some significant responsibility, not only to plant, but also to father. And so there was this pattern that began to occur as you spend time looking through that narrative. There was the reminder of Paul's ministry, what his purpose was in the lives of those people,
the effect that had been happening in the midst of those churches, there was a call for those that had been planted,
those that he had pastored, that he had fathered, that he was calling them to a purity. He was calling them to a perseverance. He was calling them to an obedience, knowing that he was not going to see them again. And so he's living in this angst of having spiritual children that he had given his life to, and knowing now that he would not see them again, he would not have opportunity to impart words to them, he would not be able to father them any longer, and so he is straining with them to hold fast, recognizing that difficult days were coming, that many would fall away, and he was just urging them to remain pure and obedient. And then there was the announcement of goodbye. And of course, for Paul, it was always dramatic and over the top. And Luke records that he would say to these groups of people, "You will never see my face again. I'm off to Jerusalem. From there, the prophetic word has been given that I'll be bound in chains, that I'm going to Rome, and it is quite possible there in Rome that I am going to be martyred for the sake of Jesus, and I am ready for that. And but because of that, you'll never see me again." And then all of that was accompanied by tears, as the churches would weep over the loss and the separation that was coming. There would be a word of prayer, of dedication, and of goodbye. And in some instances, there were prophetic words given. Paul had been given this sense from the Spirit that he was to follow through, but there were others in the circle that he would run into who would prophesy, "Yes, you will be in chains. Paul, don't go. Hold back. Your ministry's not complete." And he said, "No, I have to follow Jesus. He's the one calling me." And so over the umbrella of all of this goodbye is this prophetic sense of words spoken and of direction given and of obedience to Jesus. And I want to follow that motif a bit this morning as in some sense we say goodbye. Now, Pastor Brian gave you his last words last week. I think so. Yes. Not sure they were as dramatic as, "You will never see my face again." But nevertheless, he gave you his final charge as your pastor. Certainly, he was calling you to continue to walk out in obedience the convictions that you as a group of Jesus followers hold, not in some abstract way, but linked deeply to the Spirit of God and to the Word of God that sets your identity and your purpose and the mission that you have here in this place, and certainly as it relates to the lostness that is around you. I'm certain he called you to the faithfulness of the Word, and he called you to the faithfulness of life together, and he called you to the faithfulness of mission. And so this morning I want to cry and pray and speak some words of prophetic words over Brian and Susan and their family. So this is a bit of a risk, and I argued with the Lord about this on some level when I was asking him what he wanted me to know, and he began to give me some really sweet and beautiful things to speak over Brian and his family. And so you're all here, but this isn't for you. Okay? Love you. We're a part of this together. But these are some words that I have sensed that the Lord wants me to communicate to Brian and Susan and their family, and I'm counting on you folks to be able to affirm and say, "It seemed good and right to us in the Holy Spirit," and yes and amen to the words that I want to share. There's this kid I met when he was 2 or 3. His name is, he has a long name, which is complicated. I'm starting at the youngest, so I'll work my way up, okay. And so there's this kid named Bryson Judd Robert Scott. A lot of names attached to both of his grandfathers. Judd is Brian's dad, and Bob Robert is here holding down the fort this morning representing the Steyer family. But Bryson's a Scot. Yep. He's no Steyer. Now, maybe he'll grow and mature and miraculously he'll become one, but right now, not happening. And he's cut out of the same cloth as his grandfather. Hard-charging, competitive, stubborn. He loves combat on all levels. And the more aggressive, the better it is. He never met a challenge that he didn't think he could master, whether in sports or in life. And I wish he were here. But he's also called. He's called to love and serve Jesus. But his calling is to a violent love and a violent service.
I was reminded of Matthew 11, and I preached that. I may even have spoken that here. I had the chance to preach that message over several churches, but it came home to me really personally and powerfully as I was reflecting on Bryson. It says this, Jesus says, that from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault. And violent men seize it by force as a precious. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with most ardent zeal and intense exertion. And I speak that over Bryson Judd Robert Scott. A violent kid called to pursue the kingdom of violence. There is an invitation to the violence of death to yourself, Bryson. A violent daily resurrection into Jesus, Bryson. And a violent pursuit of God's heart and mission. I speak that over you this morning. Jordan, you're also a Scot. You tell it like it is, never at a loss for words, in your face, and yet a heart that is tender, even vulnerable. But it's all black and white for you, and you're willing to pay the cost to call it like it is. You hate gray. And God has given you a prophet's heart and calling. And Jordan, right now, it is young and wild and unpredictable. It feels a little bit like the Old Testament prophet making judgments and calling down fire. And I think that's how you kind of roll. You're making judgments, you're calling down fire. But God is inviting you. He is romancing to submit your calling to Him and allow Him to break your heart for what His heart is broken for. It's not just about truth, Jordan, but it's about truth and love. And I sense your road is hard, but God delights. Your struggle, knows your heart, and though you are going to continue to come out swinging, He said, take that shape because He delights in you. Baby, you're a Steyer. A rose among thorns. God knows your heart and your passion for Him. And He delights in your worship and your deep desire to serve Him. He captures. He's calling you to faith-filled risk in the days ahead. A disruption to the comfortable rhythm and cadence of Him. Plans that seem set will be invited to be placed on the altar as God opens doors not previously imagined. God is going to open doors that you have not previously imagined. And the path that seems so clear right now, an invitation is coming to lay that down for the wild. Your love will be called to risk. It's in the risk that your love will be all the more real. And the sense I have is that you need to hang on. Things are coming that are going to be unexplained, unimagined, unprepared for. And before you panic, it's there that God wants to meet you. It's there in that intersect that God's inviting you into the risk where love gets tested. And where intimacy is explored in even deeper and beautiful and unimagined ways. Susan, your time before Wayne is complete. And you can say that. So much learned through so many experiences. So much has been formative and foundational. So many quiet things that no one else knew, that you wrestled through, that God was doing in your life in these last 17 plus years in this place. And though it feels a bit like closure, the reality is it's invitation to a new season. Not just new place and circumstance, but new dimension of life and ministry. The picture that God gave me as I sat and thought of you, and as I wanted Him to inform my imagination, and hopefully the Spirit led, was the picture of a flower in full bud that then explodes into beautiful bloom. You're walking into a season of bloom. My challenge, my dearest friend, is that you will embrace the pace and the urgency and the new invitations that this season is coming with, and that you'll embrace it with confidence. It's your Creator who has intended all of this as a gift to you. And I speak bravery over you. It's been a remarkable 11 plus years of hanging out together. I've had a front row seat to your growth and development as a person, as a leader, and I say this in front of all of these people, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. You've been serious about your sanctification, about your personal formation. You've been ruthless with yourself. All of that now will be tested in your new role. You're entering a season of validation. It's not a rival. It's verification. You'll find out if it's real in ways untested from this past season. All of your investment, your obedience, your submission will be put on display in ways that they have never been displayed before. And your invitation, my dearest friend, is for you to continue to walk out this life by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit, to not rely upon and lean on your own understanding or your old buddy Bob's understanding, but to continue to press in to walking by the Spirit. Listen, your competence will not be, will be measured less by what you produce and more by what you produce. say that again, but screw it up. Your competence will be measured less by what you produce and more by what you possess. So it's a gift from the Father. And you're to embrace that. And I'm certain, Brian, that you will flourish and that there will be all kinds of things that you will be able to point to that demonstrates that walk by the Spirit. I just had this sense that God delights so much more in the rough and tumble of your interaction with Him than any work of your hands. And because I know the way that you're wired, I just want to emphasize this to you, that it is so less about some sort of product that you produce. Churches planted, all the other junk that you and I have to wrestle with day in and day out in this world. To be far more about what God has done in you and how that gets played out
now in a different stage and in a different season. And so, Scott's, the call of the Spirit this morning is that you walk in a manner worthy of your calling and your future. And I think I speak for all of us here that we hold it a distinct and rich privilege to have shared this past season with you. And we look forward to the exceeding abundance that awaits you in the next. And so we speak that over you. We speak exceeding abundance over you. For the violent young man that
he would ardently zeal pursue Jesus and his kingdom, so that the prophetess would not just be about truth, but it would be through the broken heart that God gives her for those around her. And that her ministry of speaking truth would be lively, would be productive. It wouldn't just be words of judgment or condemnation. I speak life over you, Jordan, in the name of Jesus. Peyton, it's going to get crazy. I know you and Mom, the two people behind you, have your life laid out. I get that. And there's uncomfortableness in your cadence and your rhythm. But God is calling you to some wild things. He is calling you to risk. In that risk, he is going to expose his heart to you. He is going to invite you into the depths of intimacy unlike anything you have known. And I know that is the longing of your heart.
But love always comes through risk. And Susan, we speak boldness over you. The pace and the urgency, Susan, I sense it, is going to be ramped up, and there will be a part of you that is going to go, ah! But God has called you for such a time as this. He has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, and of love, and of self-discipline, and you've learned all of that. You've learned that here. It's time to bloom. Speak bloom over you. And kid, it's time. All that has been done in the quiet place is going to get laid out there. And the character and the quality of your character is what will remain so attractive, will remain what is so effective. Not about strategies and future and all the rest of it. Brian, it's about the beauty of your character. God delights in that. And so walk in that with confidence. And so this morning we speak a word of release over you. Go. Grow. Flourish. Prosper. We do that in the name of Jesus because we love you. It says that when Paul would leave the places, normally he was traveling by ship, and so they'd pull into port or they'd hit a beach, and
People would just kneel down on the beach and lay their hands on him, and with tears they would release him to the obedience that the Spirit was calling him to. And I want us to have that opportunity to do that this morning. And so if the four of you wouldn't mind but coming up here, and you don't have much of a say, even you, Jordan, why don't you come on up here? And if the elders will come on up, and Mom and Dad, come on up, and why don't you just kneel here on the front? And elders and Mom and Dad, Mary Kay, why don't you come up too, please? Everybody's going to get in on this. Hold on. Lance, come on up here. Megan, get up here. Where's Megan? Megan's still conferring with Graham how they're going to take over.
Thanks, Bob.
Sorry. And why don't you folks just kneel down with them? And then why don't the rest of us just stand? And those of you who want to come and lay hands on, come and lay hands. If not, I want you just to extend your hands. Yep, you can come on around the front. There's plenty of room here in the front. Anybody else who wants to come? And for the rest of us, why don't we just extend our hands as a, certainly there's nothing magical about it. It's just affirming and confirming our solidarity. Let me try to put voice to some of our hearts this morning as we pray for them. Father, you are a good God, and you give amazing good gifts to us, and you have given us an amazing gift in Brian and Susan and Peyton and Jordan and Bryson. Thank you for loving us so much that you would bring them into our lives. Through good times, through challenge, up and down, they have and remain constant in their love for you and their love for us and their love for your kingdom. And we are grateful that through their lives, we have been blessed. We thank you for their leadership in these days here at Alliance Community and before that at Westview Alliance. People have come into a relationship with you, Father, because of them. People have grown in their walk with you because of them. People have been encouraged and comforted and challenged and exhorted and loved on because of them. And God, we just bless and release them. Thank you for their faithfulness. Thank you for their character. That they have finished well in this season. They have not been disqualified. In a day and time of moral failure and ministry failure and burnout, epidemic all around us, they remain faithful to each other. They remain faithful to you. They remain faithful to your bride. And God, we thank you for that. That we can look to them and understand what character looks like, what love is about. Yes, it's broken. We get that, God. We're all human, but they have painted a picture and they have led well, and we thank you. And God, we're excited that you have spoken words of promise and future over them. And as they step into a whole new season, a foreign land, Relationships unknown yet. Ministry undiscovered yet. God, we're so grateful that you go before them. You are in front of them. You're their rear guard. You promise to walk side by side. You will accomplish what concerns them. You who started a good work will see it through to completion. You never leave or forsake. And we hold on to that for them. For there will be challenge and risk and all kinds of things that will come at them. But greater is he that is in them than he that is in the world. And we claim that in the name and the blood of Jesus. And we speak words of life over them in the name of Jesus. We pray that you would protect them from the evil one. That you would guard them. That you would guide them. That you would empower them to walk in the overcoming life that you have given them. May the latter rain be greater than the former. We speak fruitfulness over them. And Father, thank you for Alliance Community Church, for this gathering of Jesus followers who have loved them, who have cared for them, who have walked out life over these 8+ years with them. And I pray that this body would know your tender embrace and your strong hand of provision and protection. As they walk through transition of their own, God, I pray for a richness of your presence and power in their midst. I pray that their leaders would know a fresh impartation of your Holy Spirit's power and presence. You would give them wisdom and discernment to know what you want them to know about them, about Alliance Community, about you, about future. And that you would make their path straight, God. That this place would be a fruitful bough, that she would walk in the fullness of all that you have called her to be and all that you desire for her to do. Would you keep her pure, O God? Would you keep her on point with what you want? May she not lose her first love. May she not fall away. And may the latter rain be greater than the former rain of this place. I speak fruitfulness over this body in the name and the authority of Jesus. And so, Father, as we have seen mirrored in Scripture of what goodbye and farewell looks like, we pray that what we have experienced in these last moments together would bring you delight. And that we would have cooperated with what you wanted for this moment as we say goodbye. Grateful that you are the same yesterday, today, tomorrow and forever. And it is into your hands that we entrust Brian and Susan and Peyton and Jordan and Bryson. And we commit into your hands Alliance Community Church in the fullness of all she is. God, would you accomplish what concerns them? And we pray this confidently in the finished work and in the name of Jesus, our Savior, our Redeemer, and our King. We pledge allegiance to you, Jesus. We have no other King but you. We have no other Lord but you. We have no other Savior but you, for it's only in your name that there is salvation. And we bow before you. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen.